This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, by whose mercy my life has continued for another year, I pray that as my years increase, my sins may not. As age advances, let me become more open, more faithful, and more trusting in you. Let me not be distracted by lesser things from what is truly unimportant. And if I become frail as I grow old, may I not be overwhelmed by self-pity or bitterness. Continue and increase your loving kindness towards me so that when you finally call me to yourself, I may enter into eternal happiness with you. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Beautiful words penned by Samuel Johnson, who we know as an English writer, especially of dictionaries, but also an Anglican. A good prayer as we celebrate this new year. So happy new year. And happy new year to those who might be watching from home. A great line from Shakespeare. Hamlet's first soliloquy. Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew. Resolve itself. The original meaning of that word, to melt, to dissolve, to change into something else. A good word for us to begin a reflection as we celebrate this day when so many people have resolved to do something for the new year. Anybody make any New Year's resolutions? There's one. I didn't. This idea of resolutions, do you know how many, percentage-wise, are kept beyond 1 week? I read some statistics before today. About 25%. And if you want an instance of that, if you belong to a gym or a health club, go there in the next couple of days and you'll be fighting for a locker. But go there 2 weeks from now, and things will be back to normal. This idea of resolutions, to re-solution as well, that we look back at our lives and see what is working for us, what isn't working for us, and it gives us this opportunity to re-solution. To try something else. In the words of that TV psychologist, how's that working for you? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves that. But this feast day, on this eighth day of Christmas, as we heard in Luke's gospel, has to do with what would have been required of Jesus' parents by Jewish law. That on the eighth day after birth, it was thought that it was safe for the mother to go out in public, and the first thing that would happen is that the child would be presented for circumcision in the temple. Hence, on this eighth day of Christmas, we celebrate what we call in our church calendar the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, because as we heard, this is where Jesus receives his name officially, even though the angel had announced it before he was conceived in the womb. So on this feast day, I always like to start with this practical thing. If there is one thing, perhaps, we should all think about is the way we use that name. We are hammering a nail into a piece of wood and we miss and we hit our finger. And what is the first words that come to many people's lips? And it isn't because they're praying. There is something we say about what we believe about our God in the person of Jesus by the way we use Jesus' name. So if you have that practice, that habit, maybe that's something to come up with something else other than proclaiming Almighty God's name when we're really wanting to swear or curse. It says something to the outside world about what we believe. But we come back to this idea of circumcision. And John Milton, the poet, has written about this, and people have drawn comparisons to it. But this drawing of blood that is a part of this little medical incision becomes sort of an idea as to what's to come in Jesus' life, where his blood ultimately will be poured out for us. That this work of Christmas that is not only for him, but for us as well. It is an amazing story as we look in Luke's gospel that the last words that the angel, the heavenly realm, says before departing is manger, feeding trough. For a shepherd of those days, this would have been one of the most common images that they would understand. As keepers of animals, they would lead their animals to the feeding trough every day. So metaphorically, when the angels say, you want to find Jesus? Look for him in the feeding trough. You want to find Jesus? Look for Jesus in the daily lives we lead. And so perhaps it becomes for us this resolution to look for the ways where we might not be finding Jesus, but are called to look for Jesus and to bring Jesus there. One of the common things that we have dealt with in this transition is the fact that the gates that lead in and out from this place have still been malfunctioning along the way. But there's one thing that has always worked. Whenever you want to go out, the gates will open. Perhaps that is God's message to us. Just like those shepherds returned and continued to give glory and praise to God for all that they had seen and heard, that's what we're called to do, to go out. We have been so blessed in our lives, and we are called to go out, to share what we have seen and heard. I must be getting old because I get more self-reflective about experiences in life. And I remember when I was putting together some thoughts for today, that when I had gone on a retreat to study interim ministry and just figure out what God was calling me to do as a next step in life, we were put together with partners. And the partner that I was put with to pray and discuss with was a lady who happened to be a Presbyterian minister from the Midwest. And in the course of our dialoguing together, she introduced me to a song that I never knew. Great is thy faithfulness. All my life, I never knew that song. And she was a singer, and we're out in Malibu on the mountain overlooking the ocean, and she does a performance of Great is thy faithfulness for me. morning by morning new mercies appear. It's a line from Lamentations, the Old Testament book of Lamentations, where God says, "My mercies are new every day." Wow. Every day is New Year's in God's vision of us. That there are new mercies that God wants to pour out to us. So this is day one of 2024. We can pray that we will be open to those mercies every single day. In my office, I can't even remember who gave this to me, but as I began ministry here, someone gave me this clock because they knew that this line from John's gospel was very important to me. It says, "He must increase, I must decrease." And I keep this clock right to the left of my computer on this shelf. Every morning when I come in, I am reminded His mercies as I allow Him to increase in my life. I decrease, but by doing so, we grow more and more into His likeness. So as we make these resolutions in our lives, may we recall that God's mercies He pours out to us every day. Amen.